listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and
Good
Dr.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, May 29th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Oh, hi, Michael. I am so glad to be here. It is the last Wednesday of May.
It's blowing my mind.
I mean,
almost halfway through 2024. It seems like it's been a little while, but it seems like it's gone by so fast at the same time. A little bit of foreshadowing for tonight's conversation.
Yes, indeed.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for our live listeners joining us in the chat. We always appreciate your contributions. We appreciate you taking the time to catch up with us. And, of course, we appreciate our archive listeners as well. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, you know, I've been looking forward to tonight's topic. I mean, we're really kind of winging it. We didn't really know what we were going to talk about, so we decided that we would just answer all the questions about time and space. I figured, let's just throw that out there.
That's
so
funny.
I know that we kind of chatted a bit before, but, you know, it's something that we've talked about in the past, another time-related pun. There are going to be a lot of them. But it is such an integral part of awareness, of existence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have some thoughts, but Dr. Vicki, was there someplace you wanted to start with tonight?
Well, somebody like, you know, Newton believed that absolute time was imperceptible and could only be understood mathematically. And that's a difference of, like, absolute time versus relative time, you know, and then it's about the perceiver of time, because is there really time, you know, and I think we make up time, we see time, but there is the mathematical part of it that we can't, you know, we can't overlook. And, you know, we have seasons of the planet, you know, it rotates around the sun, the moon rotates around the earth. And in that way, Einstein, if I can say, Einstein believed that time is not absolute, you know, and he believed that even though we have a common perception, a second is a second everywhere in the universe, and the rate at which time flows depends where you are and how fast you're traveling, because then there's space.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a huge discussion, but, you know, physicists like to believe that, you know, time has math. And I have to somewhat, you know, agree, because we have this collective consciousness that we live in, you know, a frame of time. And then, but we all feel time differently. We perceive it differently. Even though, you know, when you're 1 year older, you've had Christmases or Yuletides or, you know, how many Valentine's mm-hmm. Day and so on. So, I mean, there, you know, it's how many times you celebrate something. But again, it changes. And it's something that was really important to me to look up, and how our brains process, and particularly as you get older. So I found this quote on Google. As we age, time seems to pass more quickly, and we don't know why. A common explanation for this is that our brains process less information as we grow older, which makes time seem to speed up. So it's like our brains are perceiving fewer images than it was trained to receive when it was young. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. I'm processing a lot of new information. But when you compare it to when a toddler, you know, figuring out reality, learning a language, you know, I get it. We're not processing as much new information. You know, again, it's all relative to the experience. So I think it's spatial. You know, when you're younger, it goes by fast, but you're busy.
Well, yeah. And just like you were talking about earlier, there's so much information that you're pulling in, your brain has to process it all. Whereas we've adapted to so many things. We've been around, you know, we've formed those neural connections. We've processed that information. You know, things just begin to pick up. And, you know, relativity is, I think, a word we're going to be talking about a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just, it is interesting. I've been looking around online at a few things here and there. And, you know, the fascinating thing to me is this idea that time is kind of a relative, you know, excuse me, concept. It's something that I think if you were to be able to pull back an existence in the framework of existence, of reality, if you were to be able to step outside of time and see the whole thing, you know, can the past be changed, or is it the multiverse? If you change something, does it just create a new branch? There's so many different things. But the bottom line is, I, you know, had this thought that I couldn't stop thinking about years ago. And it was, you know, you essentially can't have something that comes from nothing. Although pin in that, there's been some thought on that lately. But you can't have something that comes from nothing. That means that existence has always existed. There is no beginning. There is no end. Everything has always been. Which means that time itself is just relative to us, to our perspective, to our type of existence. And that just really blows my mind. I mean, it's just, it is a fundamental, it is something that we are just not able to comprehend. I mean, we have a beginning in this life, and then we have an end of this life, of this phase. And it is so difficult for me to wrap my head around this idea that things might not have ever had a beginning. Like the Big Bang could have just been one part of a cycle. The Big Bang happens, the universe expands out, then the Big Crunch, and on and on.
Well, again, we're looking at the micro view versus the macro. You know, Wendy just wrote in the chat, I remember Christmas taking 10 years to come around, and now I can't even get my decorations in the attic before I have to take them back out again. You know, and again, that's it's relative to how we're perceiving time and how busy we are and how the brain is working, of course. You know, when you're a kid, going out on Saturday night took forever to get there. And now I'm thinking, well, Saturday night's going to come and go, and I'll be looking at that in the rearview mirror in a heartbeat, you know.
Yeah.
So it's understanding that. But again, it's where we are. One of the things that I find so fascinating about memories and is when I kind of have flashes or look back in life and I'm remembering an event, I'm somehow remembering it differently from another angle. So it's like kind of taking place now in my mind, but I saw it from a new perspective. So am I reliving that moment in just in a spatial kind of way where the body's not there, but I am there, or it's with me, but it's changed somehow. Oh, I never saw it that way before. So,
you know,
do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It's a tricky way. It's hard to articulate, but it's a memory that's alive in this moment.
Right. And that's the interesting thing about memory, isn't it? Is that there's such an emotional component to memory that we don't remember things as a photocopy or a video of what it was. It is all about what it meant to us at that time, how we perceived it at that time through our emotional lens. And of course, we can look back at things and reflect, but that's another trick about time, memory, and things passing. That's why it's so difficult if you think about talking about memory and how you can reflect on things. Eyewitness testimony is such a fickle thing. People can create memory. People are very susceptible. The mind is very powerful. There is always an emotional logic to memory, I think. Would you agree?
Oh, totally. And I think this is why it's so easy to profile something.
Mm.
And I mean, profiling exists all across the board, whether it's racial profiling or, criminal profiling. It's mm-hmm. it's so easy to suddenly, because we have this, we have a bias already in our heads. And that's why we're always surprised when somebody who is guilty say, I never saw that coming. Because, we're prejudiced in many, many different ways. So we can't trust the memory because it's emotional.
Absolutely. And that's why, I've never been one to go with my gut solely. Obviously, it's a big factor. But, the fact is, I am aware that human beings will take their emotional needs and the ego into context when they're kind of making decisions. Now, I kind of misspoke a bit because, I do listen to my gut, but I also try to temper it with other things. But when it comes to my memories, I always take it with a grain of salt. This is why reality is such a weird thing because, I have memories that, I can remember clearly, but then I'll talk to somebody and they remember it completely different, and it's just a mind bender. And that's kind of that weird thing about time, too, is just our perception is so much a part of it, and just to throw this in there, obviously, a lot of us on here have pets, and those pets, our dogs live maybe 10, 15 years, depending on the breed, cats maybe up to 20, on average, and we live so much longer, but how does time feel to them? Remember when you were a kid, you were talking about the clock, waiting to go to Saturday, how long it took. I remember, need to quit hitting that mic. I remember, being a kid, being in class, that old analog clock up there, that second hand took forever to go around the clock. It took forever. I can remember just seeing it, just sitting there.
I think we have to stop for a moment, Micah. I get a couple of reports in the chat that they have no audio.
Whoa.
Does anybody else have that problem right now?
We should be good. Everything looks clear on my end. That's no good.
Okay, Wendy says, Damien, refresh your page.
Okay.
Okay, we got it.
Well, keep rolling.
Okay.
But nonetheless,
sorry
perception.
For the interruption.
No worries. I mean, that's the whole point. When you're a kid, you have fewer relative experiences. You're brand new, at least to this phase of existence. It takes forever. I have to imagine it's the same for a lot of animals. So I have to think about, eventually, I would think medical science is going to get us to a point where we live to 150, maybe beyond. Who the heck knows? What's time going to be like as a perception then? How fast is a year going to go by when you're 125 and you're still physically at like you're 50 or 60?
Oh, well, that might be all right, but that's not going to happen, I don't think.
Well, I mean, never say never. Time is a very long thing, even if it doesn't happen for another 1,000, 2,000 years. Yeah. That's the thing about time, isn't it?
So I have to inject here because you're talking about animals. Well, our scientist, Dr. Mike, he said, he's written in the chat, I can only speak about time from two perspectives. In physics, time is one of the fundamental quantities. It is used to sequence events, compare their durations, and quantify objects' motions. Time is often considered the fourth dimension in the fabric of space-time and relativity theory. Biological rhythms and cycles, such as circadian rhythms, are governed by time. Living organisms have internal clocks that regulate physiological processes according to the time of day. I have my own circadian rhythms. And the older I get, the earlier I have to go to bed. So, I totally get that. So, but thank you for that, Dr. Mike. You know, it's, Damien says, people assume that time is a strict progression from cause to effect, but actually, from a nonlinear, non-subjective viewpoint, end quote, it's more like a big ball of wibbly wobbly, timey wimey stuff. So it's a good chuckle there. Dr. Zach has said there was a study where how they, to a set of twins, one twin went into space while the other twin stayed on planet Earth. When the space twin came back to Earth, they compared the physiology and found that the space twin did not age as fast as the twin on Earth. Well, and again, that's a spatial thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's we do have these organic components to the planet,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, considering that and, you know, how we do develop these biorhythms and internal clocks and, you know, as Dr. Mike has so eloquently put, too. So it all ties in together. When you're talking about the macro, as you're referring to, Michael, I think that for instance, if you're astral traveling, anybody who can do that, or you're meditating, there is no time, you know?
Yeah.
It's a time-space conundrum, in a way.
Well,
so
it just makes me think about what I've always said, is that the most interesting question you can ask is the one that does not have a definitive answer. You know, I really appreciate Dr. Mike throwing that in there about the physics about time, the circadian rhythms, because you know, that's a very real aspect. We can measure that. We feel it. We go through it in our lived experience. Are you somebody who, I'll just throw it out there just as a hypothetical. Do you think time travel will ever be possible?
I do.
And if that's the case, can you change the past? Or is it something that is set in stone? Are things predetermined? Like you had to go back in the past for this to happen because it's all part of the same continuum ultimately. Or is it part of the multiverse?
See, I can't answer that.
Exactly. That's why it's so fun.
We can have theories, and Dr. Mike has added here, basically, time is a complex and multifaceted concept integral to understanding the universe and the human experience. So, but again, it's so complex. You know,
yeah.
And I don't know where we're going with AI and how that might influence our perceptions of time, you know, because, for instance, I'm going to sit down and paint a picture of a tree, for
mm-hmm.
instance. That's going to take me hours.
Mm-hmm.
But AI, it takes a fraction of a second.
Yeah, but then the tree has six fingers, so.
Yeah, you know, I'm just saying. You know, it's how does that change our expression as creative beings and how we perceive this space-time reality, you know, because now we're changing our consciousness,
mm-hmm.
certainly our perception of consciousness.
You know, that Dr. Mike there, he's pretty smart. We got to get him on as a guest sometime.
Yeah.
I tell you what. But,
yeah.
You know, and
I totally agree.
But that's why I love this topic so much, because it has so many facets. And, you know, I think it is something that is also, it is something that gives us that immense perspective about appreciating existence, appreciating what we have. Time is a finite resource. I truly believe that being immortal will be fun for a while, but I'm in that camp that says that eventually you would go insane. I mean, it's in all the vampire books. So it must be true. What do you think?
Yeah, what, the Outlander? Is that what he is? Or the Immortals? I can't remember.
Actually, I was thinking of the Anne Rice books I read way back when.
Yep.
Good stuff. So they always had vampires that would go insane from being too old. But, you know, think about, there was even an episode
That's
of Star
my
Trek.
Problem.
You know, nerd shout out. I was just watching an episode where there was a member of the Q who lived forever, who just got sick of it and decided that he was going to, you know, try and off himself because he'd done everything, lived every existence, been everything.
Yeah, I remember that episode actually very well. Yeah. Well, I think that any time we have a memory, we're perceiving it differently. When we have a vision of our future, every time we think about that visualization, it's going to change. You know, so that's constant changing, even though, yes, we're organic, we're finite in that way, in that how we perceive time. And, you know, sometimes we push things too fast without giving it space, you know, so we're participating in time, not considering all the components. Like maybe you don't have all the information. Maybe you haven't met the right people yet. And we're trying to push, you know, so it's like we feel like we're banging our heads against a wall. Sometimes we procrastinate thinking we have tons of time and then we miss the boat.
I don't know. I never do that. I can't relate.
So, you know, it's, I think again, it's each of us being very individual and based on, I think, conditioning, you know, nature's versus nurture, you know, kind of thing. It's, we're going to see it differently and interact with space time in our own way.
You know, something I was thinking about, we've talked a lot about how, you know, certain things make time speed up. We're talking about how time goes faster as you age. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the old adage, time flies when you're having fun. I think it's because you're not paying attention to the passage, so you just don't notice it. But what do you think are some of those things in life that make time stand still, that makes time slow down? And do you think that we have any control over that? What did you say?
Shock.
True enough. True enough.
When suddenly time did stand still because your brain stood still. You're trying to process something, but you can't. You don't have a pathway. Mm-hmm. Like you don't have a library for that in your brain. And time stood still.
Yeah, yeah. Is that good and bad? Is there a good type of shock?
Oh, I think that that's an instinctive kind of response to survival, you know, when you're shocked or having a trauma. It's like, whoa, even something where somebody said something and it's right out of left field and you go, what was that? You know, it's like, huh, I hadn't thought of that before. And so again, time stands still. But you don't know. You were just thinking about that for 5 minutes. And everybody's looking at you like you're funny. Say, oh, sorry, I'm going to have to get back to you that. I got to go get the librarian. He's on lunch. You know?
Yeah.
And it's that kind of moment where I think those are the moments of time would feel like it's stood still.
Yeah. I think, you know, when I asked the question, I was honestly thinking of good things more than bad, because I can remember times in my life where things just kind of seemed to stop in a good way, because, you know, and it was just such an appreciation for the moment. And, you know, anything ranging from just, you know, those childhood experiences, those first experiences, you know, those special moments, you know, with the people you love in life and all of those different things, you know, when you first, anything, you know, they seem to crystallize in our memory. And again, that emotional component to memory, they become kind of cornerstone things for us that we hold on to. And I think that that's something I really appreciate about this perception of time, is those moments that you can almost hold on to. And it's good and bad. Sometimes, you know, a couple of times I've been in a fender bender as it's happening and I'm like, I can't stop this from happening. You're like, oh no, as it goes into slow motion.
Yeah. Yeah, that too. Dr. Zoran has brought up a good point too. He says, of course, personal perception is different. We can dream a 2-hour event in a few minutes.
Yeah, and absolutely. Absolutely.
That's a crazy thing, absolutely.
And I think we've all been there. You know, you've been sleeping, you kind of have a dream, you wake up from it, you go back into the dream, you have this long adventure sometimes or story happens and you wake up, it's been 5 minutes. It makes me think a lot about the life flashing before your eyes kind of phenomena as you approach death, the thing that's often talked about.
Yeah, sorry, Michael, I was reading the chat. My brain can't multitask anymore. I was just reading what, sorry to skip over what you're saying, but Wendy is saying, I feel spending time in nature makes time slow down, not necessarily stop. And of course,
good point.
Damien is saying, yeah, he certainly agrees. And I, of course, that's where I feel best, living in town or a city, everything has got this low-grade hum, and it's busy, you know. And but look, I live in a small town, well, 40,000 people, and getting to Walmart honestly takes like 7 minutes. Now, when I lived in the city, you want to get to Walmart, it's going to take you half hour, 45 minutes minimum, or nearby the city on an acreage. So it doesn't matter where you travel in the city, it's going to take you a long time to go to Walmart.
Yeah.
So now I have this spatial problem. And it's like, oh, I don't want to go to Walmart. It's so far.
You know.
And, oh, do I really want to go across town? I don't really want to drive. And I'm thinking, ooh, you got the bug. You know, 7 minutes. Ooh.
That's funny. You know, relativity works in a lot of different ways because you just talked about you live in a small town of 40,000. Back where I grew up in South Dakota, 40,000 was like a big city that you'd travel to go to the mall and stuff.
Yeah.
I thought there were only like 20 people that lived in Canada anyway. What's going on here? You
know. Well, look, time is a relative thing, and yet, as someone who's, you know, I got reminded the other day, I'm a senior.
Oh, come on now.
If I needed that reminder, that, you know, you get older, and in my mind, I'm not old, except I have way more stuff in my brain files. But my body tells me I'm older. So that's a reminder of time, you know, it's that, and I think it's after 50 or 60 where you start to feel these shifts and changes and you say, ooh, you know, it's the body starts having little indicators. Oh, you can't do that anymore. You know, you can't lift that couch and move it across the room anymore. What do you mean I can't? No, body says no, and you're going to pay for it if you do. Because so there is, I think, this period of time where there's a fight between the brain with experience versus the body with its own experience. So that's another way of, you know, having this, you know, kind of this sobering up of, oh, that's time, you know, oh, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, we have all these little reminders that there is an absolute time.
Yeah.
And yet in our brains, it's just what's relative.
Well, I think that we have to understand that we have such a, you know, such a small, limited perspective on time. We have our existence. And if we're like you and lucky, we get some past lives that we can look back on. But the thing is, we still have a small sliver of perception on the whole. So we can only intuit a little bit, I think. But, you know, there's some stuff, a couple of things I wanted to touch on. Well, that's a good idea. I was about to say, Wendy had put in that she's been having a lot of deja vu experiences lately, and they always make her question everything. I was going to get your take on that. She said it might be a good topic. What do you think?
Oh, and she has said it can go many places. It sure can.
Absolutely.
I was told by an indigenous elder many years ago that the more deja vus you have, that's an indicator of you're on your true path.
Well, that's good. I have deja vu all the time. I thought I just had brain cancer or something.
Well, it just means that you who is living on alternate dimensions is lined up. Now, it doesn't mean you're living the same life. It just means that different expressions of the same thing. So you're connected with your alternate selves.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's a thought.
It's an interesting one, too. I think we've talked about that before. It rings a bell, but it's an interesting thing, so we'll have to touch on that again.
Yeah.
But, you know, different dimensions, past life. I have absolutely thought that. You know, also, again, you know, we're going to talk about it when we come up on it again, but how many times have you come up on a moment and felt like, I absolutely dreamed this? I've seen this before. I've done this before. It's not just deja vu. It's like, oh yeah, I'm remembering that dream I had. Wild.
When I've had them, I say, okay, what did I do wrong last time? I need to correct it. What happened the last time when I had this? Or what's happening in that other deja vu? What can I do differently? Mm-hmm. Or do I need to do something differently? So it's a thought. Anyway, yeah. We will. That's a really good topic for another day. But I think it does also kind of factor into this discussion about time. Sure.
I mean, again, time is so all encompassing that you can go anywhere with it. You know, it fills everything. I mean, I haven't even gotten to the point where, because of relativity and all these different things, when the planet's moving through galaxies, it's moving through the universe, that our Earth is kind of its own little dimension. You know, you go back 5 million years, you wouldn't recognize Earth. It would be an entirely different planet. It would be just alien, its own little dimension. But I digress. You know, time has flown by tonight. It is that time. I don't know how many times I can fit time into this conversation, but... So, it's been a great discussion, but I'm looking forward to pulling some cards tonight. And, you know, New Time listeners, I get to pull inner oracle cards from ICMH, and I get the luxury of just, you know, doing some mathematical probability. I pull a random card, and I get to read from this handy-dandy book. But you have the hard part.
Uh-huh. Yep. Not so hard.
And Dr. Vicky here is going to pull a tarot card and tell you what she intuits. So we got some names coming up already, and we ready to get to it?
Let's get to it. I think I see Dr. Edward first.
All right. So, Dr. Edward, I have number 27, gains. Let's see. Number 27, gains. Every choice and action has a trade-off and result. What are you willing to trade for this result or gain? A secondary gain has a price for getting what we want, and the price is denial of the truth of a situation or behavior. This may be a time to assess if something needs to be traded for improved benefits. Healthy decisions are sure to bring about positive results and satisfying gains.
Well, now don't freak out with this card. I think it's a good one, especially when it comes to gains. I've just pulled the death card for you, Edward. And what that is a rebirth at some level. So it might be giving up an old idea so that a new idea can be born, or giving up an old attachment so that, you know, a new idea or a new project can kind of manifest. So there's some kind of rebirthing going on inside you. It's like, what do I need now versus what do I want? You know, it's getting rid of the extraneous things so you can dig a little deeper into fulfilling yourself. And that's, it's almost like almost at a spiritual level too, of rebirthing. So I think that's awesome.
So, all right. I like it. Yeah. All right.
Jerry.
All right. I got Dr. Jerry. You have number 15. It's in the existential suit, belief system, knowledge base. We each operate life from an existing belief system, and sometimes the solution or direction lies outside of our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within.
I got the Emperor, Jerry, and... belief system, knowledge base with the Emperor as a supporting... I almost want to say it's looking at authority differently, or looking at authoritarian figures differently. Sometimes we assume that people in positions of authority know what they're talking about, and maybe they don't. Now, in your case, you've had a lot of health things. You can apply that to doctors. But I'm kind of going away from the medical profession into something else where you thought better and wiser of them. And double-checking something, that may not be the case. So I think there's a bit of a review here in your beliefs about people who hold positions of authority. That's what I'm going to say there. So I hope that makes sense in some way, because that's a wild one.
All right. Absolutely. And for you, I have number 44, attitude and disposition. Just attitude. Enthusiasm or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive and ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen.
Oh, I like this, Zoran. The Three of Clubs, the Three of Wands. Think of somebody looking into the future. You know, it's like looking at where you want things to go, looking at the path that you're on. So maybe it is that in your attitude, disposition, looking into the future is, I see a lot more optimism, but I also want to say it might be a little bit of tweaking in your plans, or they've grown a little wider, bigger, and more than you had thought of. Or maybe it's just the case that you're satisfied with where things are going, even though other people have, you know, ideas of grandeur. You know? It's just tweaking that in a way that makes you comfortable with yourself and how you see yourself applying your skills to your future. And again, your attitude is all of the above. So I see it as a really good positive in seeing your future differently in simple terms. Yeah.
Good stuff.
I like it.
All right. We have our card keeper herself, Wendy, next, if I'm not mistaken.
And I didn't have her next, but let's do it.
All right. Well, Wendy, we're going with you. So you get, whether you like it or not, number 13, positive consciousness. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary.
Well, and Wendy did inject in the chat, I was next.
See, oh. I got your back, Wendy. No worries.
Okay. So I got the Two of Hearts there. So positive consciousness backed up with the Two of Hearts, Two of Cups, Wendy. It is all to do with relationships, extensions of yourself, how you interact with others. And it's, I don't know if you went through a little bit of a challenging time or a review of some kind, but it's like you're back on track, getting back on track. There might be a couple of disagreements. You know, life happens that way. You can't always agree with everybody and everything. But you might have had like a, you know, sometimes some things are a hard pill to swallow, but, you know, we get through it. We find solutions. So what I'm seeing here is in all matters of how you give your heart to others and that interaction is it's growing. And I feel like it's at a deeper level. So I'm excited. And by the way, Wendy had a little scare with one of her dogs.
I saw that.
Dog is well. Went to the vet, they did a little treatment, and, you know, this silly dog swallowed what he shouldn't have, she shouldn't have, and, but without any surgery, the vets took care of it, so we're really glad that Wendy's pup is home.
Absolutely, I echo that.
Yeah.
All right, we have Dr. Kevin next. And for you, and by the way, thanks for your kind comment. You know, I'm lucky that you found a group like this, and I love having you too. I love this group. Can't say it enough. And for you, I have wild card number 7, hope. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
Oh, you got some good news coming, Kevin. So I'm giving you more hope. And when you have the page of wands, page of clubs, that's a communicator, and it always brings some change. So if there's something you've been waiting for, something that you've been hoping for, yeah, I'm going to go back to our topic tonight when it comes to time. You would have wanted things sooner, and for all intents and purposes, it ought to have happened sooner. But, you know, not all people are on the same page. So it's like things are coming along now and moving forward, and you're going to get some good news. So I'm excited for you. And this ought to be in the next week, 10 days. So good. You'll have to give us the report next week. All right.
All right. And we have, I hope I'm saying your name right, Damien next. And for you, by the way, welcome. Happy to have you. And always love new members, and I'm glad that you're getting something out of this. And we've appreciated your contributions, too. I have for you number 7, self-mastery. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery toward the path of self-completeness.
Well, I got the 4 of Cups, the 4 of Hearts, which, you know, everything has its equal and opposites. On one hand, that could be an indicator of something being unexpectedly taken away. But the other hand is unexpectedly given when you least expect also. And when it comes to self-mastery, I want to say it's an aha moment. Where, and I feel like it's more from an unknown source as opposed to an individual. You know, it's like a thought coming in or an idea, perhaps even an invention or, you know, of your, but with self-mastery, it's also about your capabilities, you know, and what you might be interested in doing that you didn't know you might be interested in. I know that's kind of cryptic, but that 4 of Cups very often is out of nowhere something appears. But what I get with self-mastery is like something very internal, something you just didn't know about yourself. And it's exciting. I think that this card has always reminded me of Buddha sitting under the tree, you know, and he has these realizations and gets to self-mastery. So, oh, he said, well, that's on point. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you. That's awesome. So we have Audra next, I think.
All right. Audra, for you, I have number 31, Sacred Obligations. Let's see. Whoop, book fell. Ah, that happens. All right, number 31, Sacred Obligations. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations.
Well, I know it might seem like an irony in a way, but this about the 2 of Diamonds, 2 of Pentacles, where it's about balance, physicality, and so sacred obligations on one hand is more ethical, moral, how you want to be as a human, but this has to do with life, business, money, and balancing things. So it's living life by your morality and rising to the top and being able to balance your life in a way that you thought, oh, this isn't as hard as I thought it would be. And being at the right place at the right time, Audra. So that's something that just flashed in my head. So I think there's something brewing in your life that is bringing you. I always say life's not really an elevator. It's more like an escalator. You know, it takes us up. And it's like going up the escalator and being true to yourself. So I think that's very exciting.
It is. Yeah, it is. It is. And hopefully you're on the up escalator in life, not the down one. That one sucks.
Yeah, I guess I didn't visualize that, Michael, but you could be right. No, going down can be an elevator.
Well, true. Or, you know, hey, maybe going down is a good one because those are where the good shops are and you want to get to that, you know, GameStop or something like that. Who knows? Yeah. I'm throwing it out there. But yeah. I think that was the last card. Did I miss anybody?
I think so. No, I think that's it. So, Michael, I'm going to tell everybody because I'm telling on you. Michael is adopting a new cat tomorrow.
Ah, you liar.
So, but the good news also is his other foster dog found a wonderful home this past week. So Michael is down a dog but gaining a cat.
There was a situation that came up where I was able to adopt a Maine Coon from a good breeder for a deal. And, you know, I'm excited. I've always wanted a Maine Coon. Big cats, I think he'll get along well with the pack. And yeah, that same time, you know, I'd done a meet and greet with my foster dog, Kenny. Everything went great. So, yes, early Saturday morning, and this is all coinciding with, it was a busy weekend. My cat went missing for a day. She came back. She's fine. Yeah, little Leia, she got on the other side of the fence, and she never goes outside of the fence. Sometimes she hangs out in the tree and then comes right back in. But she got scared by one of the dogs, which is unusual because she loves the dogs. But she got on the other side of the fence. She got scared, ran to the forest. I couldn't find her all day. At the same time, I had to drive to Tampa in the early morning and drop off Annie. Then I came back, looked around for a while, couldn't find her. Was tired because I woke up early, slept for a bit, woke up. I was feeling awful. It didn't even fade. Even when she came back, I was still feeling rough for a couple of days. But you know, it's just, yeah, it's good stuff. You know, I've always said, I love that energy around me. I love the animals. I love their play. I love the spirit they bring into things, and just happened to line up. So I said, hey, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to enjoy it.
Well, when it lines up, it lines up. Look,
that's right.
I tease you, Michael, but there was a time in my life. I know. There was a time in my life. I had 2 dogs, 8 cats, about 100 chickens, ducks, geese. You know, 4 horses, I totally understand.
Yeah.
So, I get it. It was full. Plus, I did this massive garden.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and it's...
Now, see, I feel like if I had a garden, it'd be like a plant vegetable war crime where, you know, I would just be, you know, just all kinds of death and destruction. But anyway.
No, it'd be a great place for the dogs.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
No, I've told this story before. I know there's 1 year again, I had a massive garden and I was having a war with a vole. This big mole. Mm-hmm. And it was giant. It was eating the roots of my carrots and potatoes. And I mean, so this was the second summer of this war. I set traps. I flooded. I did everything. And, of course, I couldn't catch it. Really, it was like a Bugs Bunny cartoon. And so I used to make jokes, you know, related to, you know what I'm saying. So anyway, one day my dog got it. There she was. I had this – well, all my dogs were big. But she was – oh, I forget the name of her breed. She was cross, but she was 130 pounds. Yeah, marching across the yard with this big mole in her mouth. I said, yes, she got it. Sorry, mole.
Putting in that work.
It did. So, anyway. The fun stories. When you have animals, there's never a dull moment.
Oh, yeah.
Even I drove to work the other day at the hospital, and I saw this big raccoon kind of sitting in the middle of somebody's street. And I had to stop for a minute and watch. You know, stopped, kind of washed his face a little bit, took a few steps, looking around. I thought, yeah, I miss that about being in the country, especially, you know, having critters, because there's always entertainment.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's always that's exciting, the play. You know how when you've seen a movie a bunch of times, but you watch it again with somebody else that has never seen it, you get to kind of see it through their eyes? Mm. Kind of the same with life, when you get to see it through the eyes of a pet nurse or, you know, a kid or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, again, Michael, this time together goes so fast. You know, and thanks for joining us, Damien. He says, I can't believe how much I look forward to this. And thanks for your email to, Dr. Kelly about enjoying the show. And he made a comment that you and I have great chemistry, Mike.
He only did that because I bribed him. But, it's still appreciated nonetheless. No. And, it's been great having you. We appreciate it. We love it. And I gush all the time because I love you guys. And I love coming to this broadcast every week. And I'm looking forward to it, too. It's awesome.
Yeah. But hey, let's talk deja vu next week.
Hey, that sounds good to me. We're always always happy to touch on these things. I love the topic. Thank you, Wendy, for that idea. So that's it. We're going to talk about deja vu next week.
We are so.
All right. Well, it is that time of the evening. You know, until we get some of that advertising money and do our morning talk radio show, that is going to be it for tonight. And thank you, everybody, for joining me. Anybody that's going to be, I tell you what, anybody in the One Planet community, I'll throw some Maine Coon Kitten picks up there. A little bit of incentive. Fine. So that's going to be good. Thank you guys, everybody, for joining us. And as we wrap up, Dr. Vicky, any last thoughts?
Oh, well, don't let them push you around out there, guys. Ever.
I love it. Always good advice. Can't go wrong. Well, everybody, thank you again so much. We look forward to seeing you next week with our topic of deja vu. Or wait, did we already talk about that? I don't know. But anyway, until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.